Please take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 2, where we'll be having our message, but also 2 Peter chapter 1, where we'll be going momentarily for reading of a few verses. James chapter 2 and 2 Peter chapter 1. Henry H. Morris III writes, "The Word of God must be the foundation of our faith. What makes you believe what you believe?" The Word of God must be the foundation of our faith. God's Word must not be subjected to human science, philosophy, or tradition. The Scriptures pronounce dire warnings against twisting God's Word to fit human expectations, like evolution, or even the sexuality revolution that we see ourselves in today. God's Word is true. And man may try to twist it and manipulate it, but God's Word is what? True. From Genesis 1:1 to the end of the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus will hold his children accountable for their acceptance or rejection of the accuracy, authority, and sufficiency of his Word. Unquote. The authority. Are we going to allow the Word of God to be the final authority? Who wrote the Word of God? God. If you would, let's stand together. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. Your faith should be precious. With us through righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the opportunity to have witnessed the baptism of one of yours. And Lord, we pray, as has already been mentioned, that your hand of blessing will be upon Tony. May he be a blessing to our church and we to him. And Lord, now we ask, as we continue to read from your holy word, that it will be of great encouragement to us. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. When the Lord God of the universe, the creator of the ends of the earth, the King of Kings, whose very name is held to be the greatest name among all creation, as it says in Philippians 2:9, wherefore God also hath exalted him, or highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, whose name is not to be taken in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. When God says that he has magnified his word above all his name, Psalm 138:2, it does seem wise to respect that word and honor its message. It boils down to authority. Will you allow the Lord of the universe to have the final authority? If you would, the book of James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We read these verses last week in conclusion, and we will use them as our beginning point today as we continue our thoughts in the book of James. James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith is a key doctrine in the Christian life. The sinner is saved by faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. May I say here just for a moment, we are not saved by our works, just as we are not saved by being baptized. These are acts of obedience. These are things that we do because we are saved. The believer must walk by faith, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7, where it says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. How strong is your faith today? Number three, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to please God? In our house, we have a dog. We used to have three dogs. Praise God, we only have one now. We bought three dogs in Ohio a number of years ago. We were going, we'd bought some furniture at an Amish store, and I wanted to go down to Charm, Ohio. Anybody ever been to Charm, Ohio? Sounds charming, doesn't it? And as we're going to Charm, Ohio, there was a sign by an Amish farm that said, Puggle puppies for sale. And I thought, what harm would it do to stop and see the Puggle puppies? I was delirious. And so I pulled in and got out, and Donna's face lit up like a Christmas tree. These little Puggles were bouncing all over. They were just little things. And Donna said, how about us getting one or two or three? I said, how are we going to get them home? And so she asked the little Amish boy, do you have a box? He said, yes. Just so happens. And I said, how much do you want for them? And he gave a price, and I looked at Donna and shrugged my shoulders. He says, oh, I could do less. And the thing, before we knew it, I gave him $20 for each of the three Puggles. And so we're driving home with three Puggles. Ginger, we gave to Brian. We kept Oreo and Bandit. Ginger died in December at another home. Bandit died, what, in March? And Oreo died a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago. It's kind of hard. Have you prayed for Donna? She really needs it. She struggles. If you go by her car, you see that there's two dog chains hanging from the mirror. I hope mine doesn't get up there soon. But anyways, we have one dog. That dog thinks he's a person. Do you have a dog who thinks he's a person? Oh, they think they're persons. I mean, they really do. In fact, he thinks he's the person in our house. He doesn't know what to do if I'm in one room and she's in the other, because he wants to know what both of us are doing at the same time. He thinks he's king. And you know, if we aren't careful, we make him think like he's king. Well, she makes him think like he's king. But who should be king of your life? The Lord should be king of our life, right? In other words, we should want to serve him. We should want to please him. And Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith. So do you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Number four, whatever we do apart from faith is sin. According to Romans 14:23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When we think of Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Fame chapter there in the New Testament, when one reads Hebrews 11, we meet men and women who acted on God's word no matter what price they had to pay. And for many, it was their very life. It was inconvenient for many of them, but they still willingly, by faith, followed the Lord. Faith is confidence that God's word is true and conviction that acting on that word can bring his blessings. May I encourage you, follow the teachings of the word of God. Our first point today is dead faith. We find there in verses 4 through 17 that faith without works is dead. It is my belief that in every gospel preaching church, you will find those who have a dead faith. And you will find those with a vibrant, living faith. How is your faith described? Do you have a dead faith? Are you bored out of your skull when you're asked to come to church? Do you find reading the Bible such a task that you don't do it? Do you pray once in a while, or are you glad to talk to the Lord? Do you have a dead faith, or do you have a living faith? Do you have a vibrant faith? Is it important to you? There is also a counterfeit faith. Knowing all the right words and actions, but not knowing the Savior. Would you take your Bibles and keeping your place here, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We have said on many occasions that religion will not get you into heaven. There are tons of religions in our world today, thousands of beliefs. But there's only one way that it will get you into heaven, and that is your faith in Jesus Christ. And in Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 21, we find these words, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wondrous works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Strong words, aren't they? Here are people who thought they were having a faith in the Lord that really didn't. They just had a counterfeit faith. They had a religion that really didn't teach them what salvation was all about. See, man looks on the outside, but God looks on the spiritual heart. He looks at who we are spiritually, not what we are, but who we are. The greatest example of dead faith is the story of the Good Samaritan, where both the priest and the Levite had religious training, but neither paused to assist the dying man at the side of the road. You know the story. You've heard Jesus, the parable that Jesus gave about this one that had been beaten and robbed and left for dead. And the priest came by and the Levite came by and they both saw him and they went on their way. But it was the Good Samaritan that stopped. See, each would have defended their faith, yet neither demonstrated their faith. Do you demonstrate your faith? Warren Wiersbe comments on verses 14 through 17 saying, any declaration of faith that does not result in a changed life and good works is a false decoration. That kind of faith is dead. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Verse 17, unquote. It is my contention. It is my belief. It's my encouragement to each and every one in this room that we should strive to have a living, vibrant faith. A living, vibrant faith. Let me ask you this. If you want a nice lawn, does it just happen? I mean, you can lay down nice sod, but you still have to do what? You have to water it? You have to make sure you get the weeds out? What'd you say? Fertilize it. You have to do these things so that you have a nice lawn. You just can't say, well, I'll just cut it once a week and that should be sufficient. You have to work at it, don't you? It's the same with your faith. You have to work at it. You have to take out the weeds. You have to water it. You have to do that which is necessary to keep your faith vibrant. It doesn't just happen. Verse 20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? O vain man. Vain, meaning useless, fruitless, empty. 100 empty bushel baskets are simply taking up space. It's not until those bushel baskets are filled with fruit or vegetables that they become of some value. John Wesley writes, noting verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith. But does your actions back up your words? I've used this example before. If I were to tell you that I am a fan of the Detroit Pistons, you may say, well, can you name 5 Pistons? I can't. If you were to say, well, do you watch the Pistons on television? Well, when they used to play, I would say no. Well, do you listen to them on the radio? I don't even listen to them on the radio because I don't even know what station they're on. Do you wear any Piston t-shirts or things like that? No, but I'm a fan. Do you believe me? You don't believe me because I don't do anything that shows it, right? I don't do anything. Well, the same with church. See, someone can be a fair weather fan, but how about church? Do we have fair weather fans in church? People that come only when it's convenient, when nothing else gets in the way? Church ought to be a delight, something that we enjoy doing. You should enjoy coming in and listening as Cheryl and Debbie play the instruments and Pastor Stephen leads the song and you get to sing. That should be a delight. I think I heard someone say amen. I think it should be a delight. I mean, we should like to sing. Do you realize when you get to heaven, you're going to sing? We should desire to sing. Now, the Bible tells us we're to make a what to the Lord? A joyful noise. Do you find that interesting, a joyful noise? I've heard some of you sing. It's a noise. How many churchgoers are just that, fair weather? When there's something else to do, sadly, it is low on their to-do list. 2, living faith. Aren't we glad for living faith? James chapter 2, beginning at verse 21. 2 examples of faith. Abraham, a Jew, and Rahab, a Gentile. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab, the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Verse 23, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Imputed, added to. Scofield writes, imputation is the act of God whereby he accounts righteousness to the believer in Christ, who has borne the believer's sins in vindication of the law. Now, you remember the story there in Genesis 22, where Abraham is told to take his only son and to sacrifice him on an altar. And how that he travels for a while, then he tells his servants to stop, and he and Isaac go further to the mount, and they build an altar. And Abraham puts Isaac on the altar. And he raises the knife to plunge it into his son. And God, seeing his faith, tells him, hold your hand, do the ram that's caught in the thicket. When God saw the faith of Abraham, because Abraham believed that God is going to use Isaac, he would raise him back up. God saw his faith. And then there's Rahab, who was living in the city of Jericho. Joshua and the children of Israel are not far away, and the spies have come, and she lets them into her house, believing that their God is greater than her God. And when the city officials come and ask about the spies, she says they've gone on another way. And then they tell her, when we come and do battle against Jericho, if you hang a scarlet rope out your window, those who are in this house will be saved. And she did it. She lived on the city wall. She put out the scarlet rope. When the people came on the attack, the people that were in the house were saved alive. Her faith was shown by her works. How about your faith? Do you have faith in Jesus Christ or just simply in religion? Both Abraham and Rahab proved their faith by their works. In conclusion, James 2:24 says, so faith without works is dead. If you were put on trial for being a follower of Jesus Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would you be found guilty? I'd like to give you a short quiz. No, you don't have to write anything down. It's not multiple choice. It's not true or false. It's yes or no. Number one. Was there a time when I honestly realized I was a sinner and admitted this to myself and to God? Was there a time? Yes or no? You admitted, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, was there a time when my heart stirred me to flee from the wrath to come? Have I ever seriously been alarmed over my sins? It's a simple yes or no. All of us should be alarmed by our sins. All of us should realize that we are sinners. All of us should realize that one sin will send you to hell. One sin. And no one in this room has only sinned once. Number three, do I truly understand the gospel that Jesus died for my sins and rose again? Do I understand and confess I cannot save myself? There is nothing I can do that will get me salvation. Number four, did I seriously confess my sins to the Lord and ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins? Number five, have I trusted Christ and Christ alone for my salvation? Do I enjoy a close relationship with Him through the Word and in prayer? So is He your Savior? And do you have a close relationship with Him? Number six, was there a change in my life? Do I maintain good works, or are my works occasional and weak? Now, many of us have works, but do we have strong works? Number seven, do I seek to grow in the things of the Lord? Can others tell that I have been with Jesus? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Those at school, those at work, those in your family, do they know that you have been with Jesus? Number eight, do I have a desire to share Christ with others, or am I ashamed of Him? Number nine, do I enjoy the fellowship of God's people? Is worship a delight to me? And number 10, am I ready, prepared to meet my Maker? It could be today. There's no guarantee of tomorrow. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Shall we stand together? Do we have a living faith? Do we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior? These are questions that only you can answer. Are you prepared to meet your Maker? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would move and touch hearts. And Lord, we pray that people would follow your leading. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.